Welcome to the Gilles 365 World Cup podcast. With a notable difference from the format, there's no pub this week. Simon Pitney is with me.
Hello.
Dan Ferdinand is with me.
What do I do?
And Stuart Hoare is with me.
Good afternoon.
Resplendent in pink. Or I was going to say pretty in pink, but that would be lying. So we'll move on to the big talking point. Obviously, is England 1-0 win against Slovenia. Obviously, it's all over the papers. Everyone's gone mad. We're going to win the World Cup now, aren't we, Simon?
Fact.
No, primarily because we've got Germany in the next round, and it's an interesting time because I've decided that I'm not going to get my hope up. I'm always pretending that I don't
just
care
your hope
about
or your hopes.
My hopes. Just one hope. I'm almost pretending to myself that I don't care about the game because I don't think I can handle another kind of heartbreaking defeat to Germany. So I know that come Sunday I'll wake up and I'll be like a 10-year-old at Christmas and be super excited. But right now I'm trying to keep myself in check because I don't want to invest all that emotion and then the Germans find a way of winning as they always do.
It makes sense. I mean, it's going to be quite an even game, isn't it? Because the Germans is an argument, and I like to see the positive. Germans may have peaked after their first game.
Yeah, and someone said to me earlier today that if England beat Germany, then the amount of confidence we'll get from that could actually see us deeper into the tournament, which is a great point. And I think if we can see off the old enemy as it is, and the amount of euphoria and the amount of belief that will feed into the players, great. But it's Germany, and I'm 30, so I've lived through a few of these situations. I just don't trust them to lose. Basically,
yeah.
Sorry to be depressing.
No. That kind of, you know, I can understand that rounded thinking, Dan. When you've done your shoelaces up,
it's a podcast. It doesn't make a difference what I'm doing.
Right, quickly. All right, I'm gonna add one more point.
Oh, go on.
Please, could we have scored a second goal just so we've got Ghana? All those chances, one more goal, and we'd have had a much. Forget the 16 game. It meant we would have played Uruguay or South Korea in the quarterfinals. How much easier is that than having to play Germany and then probably Argentina?
Wouldn't be England if we didn't do it the hard way, though. And then went out gloriously in the quarterfinals.
Okay.
Dan, your view?
I'm probably one of the few people that have not caned England off Capello. I think the first game we actually played quite well. I think the second game we didn't create a lot of chances, but on the same token, we didn't give them anything. It would have been a little bit nicer to score another goal just so that we didn't have to panic, but just holding it in the corner again, we didn't give them too much. So I think people have almost forgotten we've actually only conceded one goal in three games, and I know we have only scored the two, but we are through. We've conceded one goal, which was an absolute fluke. So really, if you take that away as a goal that's never going to be scored, well, not for another 20 years, then England haven't conceded a goal yet.
But we were playing Algeria, Slovenia and America.
But that's the whole thing. Everyone's kind of got this empire complex. Like, England have a good side.
It's not an empire complex. I'm looking at world rankings.
No, it's not. Well, USA are right up there. USA is what, in the top 12, if not higher than that?
They're about that, yeah.
They're about 12. Okay. USA are a very good side, of which we didn't particularly give them too much, but they scored a free goal.
So one game out of three.
Algeria, a good passing side, got to, well, qualified being Egypt, the African Nations champions the last 2-3 years in a game on neutral ground. So, you know, they haven't just fluke their way through by like New Zealand playing teams in the Pacific Islands.
Conceding a goal, I think they had a much harder group with better teams to play against. Didn't concede any.
What, a France side? Don't get on. In
which
fact,
we'll talk about that a bit.
South Africa, who are probably the worst host, like worst in class football, the worst host nation ever to
predicted,
qualify.
They have gone out in the group stage.
And Mexico, who did do very well, but they are quite a young side up front, so they don't, you know, they can be a bit hit and miss, and England showed that by beating them as well. So I actually think England, and I'm not a pessimist, and I also want to add one more thing about the England game. Lee Dixon, and I'm a gooner, and I used to love you, but you ruined it yesterday before the game. He stated, if Capello plays Gerrard on the left and we play 4-4-2, then we might as well pack our bags and go home. Stick that up your jacksie, Dixon.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that.
Stick it where it's on.
Best pundit in the World Cup. We'll ask about that in a minute. But Stu, England, your views, young man.
I don't particularly have any views. We're through. Unfortunately, I think we're going to go out to Germany as well. So that'll be it. massive glory gone.
So you think a 1-0 win scraped against Slovenia is going to be our highlight of the tournament?
Well, I think it's a highlight drawing against the USA. I mean, they're a massive country. They can't be that bad at a sport for too long. It's like the highest paid sport in the country now, isn't it?
It's the highest paid
sport. It's the most played sport in America, but that's because it's kids mainly and girls. Mostly girls, in fact.
Okay.
They're in the next tournament.
Well, they have a professional male league, they have a professional females league. A lot of people play that sport. Yeah. A lot of people care about it as well now. So it's not just...
It's great for the sport in America that they are actually through. They've never qualified before.
And also, don't forget, Landon Donovan, and you're an Everton fan as well. Yeah. Landon Donovan came over and was like Everton's best player.
He was very, very good, yeah.
Very good for Everton. And he's their best player.
He was blubbing at the end, wasn't he? He got all choked up.
Yeah, well, he's been through for a lot of the last 4 years.
Yeah. So, okay, so we think... Got the balls. The general prediction we have for Germany is that we're probably going to get beat. Is that?
I think we'll beat them. No, sorry, they'll beat us, or we'll beat them 5-1. Are the only two options.
No, I don't.
Is that a fence you're sitting on, or are you just you actually think we're going to get beat?
I think we've got a good chance of qualifying. Again, I've watched Germany a lot, and they that game against Australia, I think, was a little bit thrown people off a little bit. Australia were truly awful in that game. In fact, they were worse than they are. That was a well below par.
Worse than they are.
Well, that was like a 10 over.
Yeah.
That was not a par performance. Germany did look good. I think Podolski either scores wonder goals or
does nothing.
Looks, you know, the crowd better, you know, wear helmets.
Mm.
Although he did almost knock out the number two for Ghana last night with his right foot, which hit him square in the face. The guy was just in Swaziland or somewhere.
John Terry dive.
Yeah, and the John Terry dive. And so I think we've got a chance. I think their best player, Utsal, is good, but he's young.
Yeah.
I think he's got a wonder goal. That's his one for the tournament. And he missed a sitter one-on-one with keeper, which means I argued about earlier.
Yeah.
I actually think that Miroslav Klose coming back for Germany is a good thing for England, because although I don't think Kakao hasn't actually played that well, he's a bit of a nippy centre forward. He gets around, and I think with Terry and whoever plays alongside him having to follow that pace, it's more difficult. Where Klose is a very kind of right down the middle of the pitch centre forward, very good in the air, and that's what Terry and Upson or Terry and Carragher will eat all day long.
Yeah.
I am concerned about Barry following Ozil around. I just think Ozil will find some space and be able to pull a couple of strings. I'm hoping that Schweinsteiger's hamstring is definitely very serious and he's ruled out. That'd be brilliant.
The pick, not for my fantasy.
I just think, actually, I think England it'll be their best performance, because I think some emotions will be stirred that probably haven't been by playing the group stages. But I think I've got a best performance, but as ever, a glorious defeat.
That's it. Right, I've kind of sort of flip-flopped on this. As soon as we realised we had Germany, I thought, oh, well, that's us done then.
Mm-hmm.
But then I watched them play yesterday, and they're not anything special. They're a good side. As a unit, they're quite a tight, cohesive unit. They all seem to know their jobs. It's all very stereotypically German. Everybody knows their role. It fits in well. They play the system well. Their manager, despite his questionable fashion sense, is a very good coach.
I like that cardigan. Yogi Love. And I'm not a cardigan wearing kind of guy.
Would you be tempted now you've seen?
No, because that's just my personal fashion thing. For me, I wouldn't wear one, but I think he looks brilliant.
He looks good in a cardigan.
I think you should try.
Yeah.
I think it's the low bit. I haven't got the
pectorals. If we beat Germany, I think you need to come in a cardigan.
I don't even own one.
Well, that's all right. There's a gap just downstairs. You can get yourself one from there.
German goalkeeper. He looks a bit ropey on crosses.
Rennie Adler, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was their third choice goalie not so long ago.
Yeah, but he won't play. They're going to play butt so he can take the penalties.
You'll bring one as a 150th minute substitute for penalties, yeah?
Just for penalties.
The only caveat for my doom and gloom and complete pessimism about Sunday is Mr. Capello. I'm like Dan. I wasn't ever one who ever doubted him. And he is worth...
Don.
He's worth more to our squad than we know.
The squad father.
He is my caveat. I believe in him. I don't necessarily believe in the England team, but I believe in him. So
yeah, I think Don Fabio, he's the man. He is the man. And I think I look at it and I think we've got through without actually playing very well. Mm. There's been a bit of over the top reporting of the game. It's like, wow, England are back. Well, not really.
No.
We did enough. And as I said to...
I thought it was an efficient performance.
Yeah, very German. In some ways.
But it was.
But actually, we're doing a better job of being Germany, and they're doing a better job of being England, because they're playing with a little bit of pace and a little bit of fire. We're just kind of bumbling through.
I like what you've done there. We're going to win.
Yeah, so gets the penalties, they'll crumble. We'll bang them in the back.
They have
not even won. No, I mean, if he gets the penalties, they'll still win.
But I do think that we've got to where we have so far without putting in a real performance.
Yeah.
I think yesterday you could probably, if you looked at the players you said played really well, you're probably talking four, maybe five at the most. There were three or four players who just didn't perform. I thought Barry was poor.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought Glenn Johnson was a bit hit and miss. Should have been sent off. Glenn Johnson should have been sent off.
Yes.
I thought Milner for the first 15 minutes, this is quite ironic because Milner for the first 15 minutes looked like a 12-year-old had been thrown in. He looked absolutely petrified.
And then all of a sudden
And Defoe hadn't touched the ball. And in the pub we were saying, has Defoe touched it yet? No. Milner's not playing very well, is he? No. Milner crosses, Defoe scores, everything's right.
But that's all right, because then Defoe went back into that shell.
But he's a finisher.
He doesn't need to do anything.
Gary Lineker made a career of doing that.
Yeah.
Doing nothing. Romario did nothing outside the box, giving the ball, bang, back of the net.
Much like Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep diddly squat.
Oh, that's a bit harsh and rude.
No, it's not.
He works harder. Well, as he's got older, he's worked a bit harder. But when he was in his pomp and he was at Man U, he never used to do
anything. Didn't have to do anything.
He scored one goal from outside the box in his whole United career, I think. But so it's kind of guarded in terms of how England are going to get on, and so we're worried because it's the Germans and we know what happens.
Can I just say I'm looking forward to Germany?
I'm
looking forward to it more than I think I would have done if it was Ghana.
I'm pleased for two reasons. One, because before the tournament I said I'd prefer to play Germany than Ghana, and I don't think my opinion's changed on that. Ghana are very physical, very powerful. They've got a lot of pace about them. I think it'd be quite difficult to defend against. Germany, I think our team will raise their performance because it's Germany.
Yeah.
And I think that will actually play into our hands. Germany will attack us more. That should give our players more space. And also, the most important thing, the game on a Sunday. I'm at a wedding on Saturday. I can watch the game now.
It's an interesting point you make about Germany, though.
It's so stupid as to book their wedding mid World Cup.
That is exactly what I said to my
missus. Don't get married in a World Cup year.
Or on a Saturday, or in the summer. What's that all about? I got married at Christmas on a Sunday. No game.
Mm. I got married after the Euros. There's no football going on. It's in pre-season. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, very good point you made about Germany. It's the first time England would have played a team that's going to come to attack us and therefore open up some room. Whereas we, in the three games so far, it's been the onus has been on us to drive the game and to be the aggressors. So that will be an interesting dynamic we haven't seen so far from England's team.
I think it'll be the game of the tournament so far. I think it'll be the game of the tournament so far because both teams look iffy at the back.
Mertesacker
against Heskey, he'll just deal with high balls all day.
Yeah.
Defoe and Rooney, he'll be all over the shop. Mm. You could say the same thing with our two centre halves.
He could end up
throw the ball straight at them. He could end up killing.
I actually think those front three against our back line will be fine because, you know, Glenn Johnson, as we said, Podolski, he obviously scores one goal, so he doesn't really do much. Mm. Glenn Johnson, as Podolski doesn't shoot, Glenn Johnson can deal with that.
Yeah.
Ashley Cole will tie up Muller because Ashley Cole's just the best left back in the world.
Yeah.
And I genuinely
he's pretty much nailed that down. Yeah. I wasn't a believer.
Yeah,
but he's
pretty much in
this tournament nailed that down.
And that's coming from an Arsenal fan.
Yeah,
as well,
I can't see who is.
Who's going to get the better? No one. And I think Terry and whoever Terry played will eat up closer all day long. I don't think the front three for Germany are the threat.
My worry is Podolski because he could get at Glenn Johnson, and I think whoever plays the right hand side of midfield, whether it be Milner, I assume it'd be Milner.
I would imagine.
There's going to be a big job there for Milner if he plays wide right to just back up Johnson. Because when you play right midfield with Glenn Johnson, you're going to spend as much time covering for him
you will.
As you are in front of him.
I actually think that the bigger concern is actually our left hand side. Ashley Cole is the best left back, but when we do play Joe up there, he will go missing, and it's Lahm coming from their right back, raiding down that side, which I'm actually more worried about, because I think as ropey as Glenn Johnson can be defending, Milner does give you that extra bit of cover because he is such a willing runner. He does work very hard and isn't actually that bad a defender. They're probably quite similar. But Gerrard gets caught up front, That, you know, you're saying that Barry's going to have to go with Utsal, but I think that's almost his second most important job.
Yeah.
After making sure Utsal limps off the field in 10 minutes,
make sure Lund, this is where we need Owen Hargreaves.
It's a shame Carragher's legs have gone, because it'd be a good job for him. Stick him in man to man.
Or even Levy King at the start of his career.
Is Levy King due to be back?
He's training. Well, in fact, he didn't train this morning, apparently.
That's probably just because he's big, isn't he? Yeah, he's probably fit, yeah, but no, he's got to let him train.
Yeah, it's nothing. Him and Lennon didn't train this morning. But I like the way. I know I prefer to see Gerrard in the middle where he can do the most damage. Yeah. I thought he played well on the left yesterday. And having Lampard in the middle with Barry, that's quite solid. Gerrard on the left gives you a bit of flair, cuts in, overloads the defence, does well there. Milner on the right. Milner is probably the best crosser of the ball in the squad. Mm. He's technically excellent with both feet as well. He just needed that little bit of confidence, and once he put that cross in for the goal, you could see his confidence just soar, and he had a really good game after that. He's good there, and the benefit of having those four across the middle, they're all what I call proper footballers. You put Sean Wright Phillips or Aaron Lennon out wide, you know they're good
sprinters.
They're good going one way, they're not good coming back. Those four that we played yesterday, they're all good. Yeah.
Which way is Sean Wright Phillips good? Is that the way we mean?
He's at his best going forwards. There you go. You can be the judge of how good his best is, right? He's at his best going forwards. But I think I'd keep with the same 11. Do you not think?
I think he's safer on the bench, right, Phillips?
Yeah, yeah. So I think having those four proper footballers in midfield, and that's where the battle's going to be won and lost against Germany for sure.
Yes.
I like the German player Müller as well. He looks like a classy player as well.
I still don't think he's a natural ball finisher.
He's only young. He's about 22, isn't he?
So but it's Schweinsteiger. Five players in their squad that won the under 21 championship
against us.
Yeah. England v Germany. That'll be Sunday, and obviously
is it the afternoon game?
It's the afternoon game. Yeah, 3 o'clock on BBC. Thankfully. Who do a decent job of covering the football. Who's your favourite pundit so far in a World Cup, by the way?
I think I've raised this in the previous podcast. I still like Jürgen Klinsmann. I think he's brilliant. Not sure I'm going to like him after Sunday, mind. But every time he opens his mouth, he talks sense. It's always with a nice little dry sense of humour.
Yeah.
It's not kind of cheesy humour like Lineker. Mm. I just really like Klinsmann. The guy played at the top level.
Yeah.
Wherever he's been.
He's won penalties in the World Cup.
He knows what it's all about. He's talking from a position of authority. Yeah.
But what about you, Dan?
It's a podcast. No one can see you do the podcast.
No, I know. That was purely for you. Clement Seydolf.
Really?
Yeah, he's just a busy little groupie. He's been quite cheeky, and he's always got a big smile on his face. David's probably...
It's a big face.
David likes to talk, but David just leans back and kind of looks moody. But... Seydolf looks like he kind of wants to be there. He looks like he's happy to be in South Africa. Looks like he's happy to be on the BBC.
Right, he is. I'd love to be in South Africa.
And I suppose, and that's just one more point. I don't know if I made it last time, but how cool is it that these foreign players or foreign ex players that play in the Premier League and some others can come and do coverage for England in what is their second, sometimes third language?
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Could you name any England players that could then go and do that for a foreign TV channel?
No.
I'm not even sure Lineker could.
Lineker could.
Spanish, yeah. Oh, definitely Japanese.
Ray Wilkins could.
Yeah.
Although it was a fair while since Butch played.
Hoddle must have been able to pick up the French.
Yeah, he played for Monaco for a bit.
Fairly switched on guy.
He lives a lot in Spain now.
Okay.
I just say anyway. That was
So your favourite pundit is Seydolf. What about you?
Seydolf. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, really?
I think he's a good set of glasses as well.
That's David's.
David's my probably. Both Dutch.
Yeah. mine is
fell out in 96.
Mine is he's not on the telly. Robbie Savage is my favourite. Robbie Savage has been brilliant because we've been in the office and a lot of the games have been on when we've been at work, and there's no TV in my eyesight.
Yeah,
I've had to rely on getting the streams off the internet, and getting the video has been a bit tricky. So I've had Five Live on for a lot of it. Robbie Savage is a genius. He's brilliant. Ivory Coast versus Portugal, they stank the place out in that game. It was an absolutely dreadful game. Half time, Alan Green goes to Robbie Savage and goes, "Sum up the first half for me, Robbie." And he goes, "I can't. Nothing happened. I can't. I've got nothing to summarise." And then after the game, second half, equally as bad, Savage turns around and says, whatever money I earn from doing that particular game, I'm going to give it to a children's charity because I'm here to commentate on football, and there was no football play today. That was rubbish.
I would just like to
say that's what I like, a pundit who gets stuck into.
I would just like to say my dislike of Savage, it's not major dislike, it's just, well, he said that he had nothing to say. What he did, that he actually forgot Cristiano Ronaldo did hit the post from 30 yards.
He did, but it was like
89-50 of total trash.
Yeah.
He did still hit the post from 30 yards. It literally almost would have been unbelievable.
But you can't cling on to one.
No, but you can't say sum up the first half and you go nothing happened. You go, well, apart from Ronaldo hitting the post, it was awful. Fine. But you know, if you're going to pund it, remember what happens in the game. Maybe take a note.
He probably wasn't even watching. He might have fallen asleep.
I don't know. It was a terrible game.
And he's doing 606, and he's doing. It was him and Warnock doing 606 the other day.
Oh God!
What a combo! The most hated player and the most hated manager on the same podcast.
Not most hated, but
Warnock.
No, I think he's great.
Of course, says our resident Super Hoops fan. It's weird that, you know, you're saying about the foreign pundits. Is it not just because we haven't got any good English ones? Even on Sky, they're all Scottish.
I will be honest, it's 100% that. I've already caned Lee Dixon, he was awful, he's abysmal, and then I'm not even going to talk about ITV.
No, it's best not to. Or we could talk about it.
£6 million a year for what? About 2 minutes through, just for a moment.
You're just doing a Robbie Savage there and ignoring him, aren't you?
No, I'm not, mate. Tell me a good one. What have I missed?
No, do you know, do you fall asleep?
What have I missed?
No,
you know what I've done? I've turned it over. What have you missed?
Based on what we've seen so far, and we've got the last four groups are being sorted today and tomorrow in terms of who goes through to the round of 16. Who stood out for you as either a team that surprised you or a team that's disappointed you? France, obviously.
No.
Taken as red.
Love
we all knew they were going to be crap. We all knew they'd fall out. Did anyone know it was going to be quite as mental as it was?
No, it's definitely been over the top.
It's been, because they play such terrible football, it's actually a relief that they've got such crazy stuff going on outside. It's been brilliant. I'm slightly gutted that. Can we just keep them in South Africa?
Can they not just be on strike for the rest of the World Cup?
Because the French are renowned for striking.
It's just gone from I don't understand why it was big news.
They're all heroes as far as I'm concerned.
we're not going to train. I'll tell you what, one thing, France, you know what France need? They need to have a beer before the game.
Well, it worked, you know, Fabio knows what he's doing, you see. He knows what he's doing.
And he looked very happy when he got to total press that as well.
He loved it, didn't he? Stick of two fingers up at him. It was just as he was leaving, wasn't it? Yeah. And they all had a beer before the game.
So like,
who else do you think's done well in this World Cup? I mean, I've been really impressed with the South American sides. Mm. I mean, Argentina and Brazil aside, you know, you expect them to be good. Uruguay look very solid.
I like Uruguay.
Paraguay have been quite exciting going forward. Chile look a really good attacking team. They're going to be playing Spain today. Don't be at all surprised if they knock Spain out of the World Cup. Or is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if they knock Spain out of the World Cup.
That's a big game.
Because if Spain drop points and the Swiss beat Honduras, which you would expect they might, then Spain are going home.
I like Paraguay as well. I know, nice little outfit. And also, best thing about Paraguay is they always have really, really good kits.
We spoke about this.
Yeah, I love it. The red and white stripes, the blue shorts, amazing.
Weird, you know, the South American sides have done well. The African teams have struggled. The European sides have looked off the pace.
Mm.
You know, it's a wide open World Cup, this, going into the knockout.
Well, let's just hope that they've all done what you said about Germany earlier. Everyone's peaked too early, and the teams that started crap, i.e. England, can breeze on through. Much like Italy did. Italy had a slow start, always slow start, but Italy weren't exactly setting the house on fire. They won the last World Cup.
No, that's right. I don't think they'll be doing that again, though. They look rotten.
Or are they going to beat Slovakia?
Well, that's the big question. They've drawn with New Zealand and they didn't deserve that. So, no. Dan, what do you reckon?
Well, I would like Stu to go first.
Korea Republic have impressed me. They're not quite as scary as they first looked, to be honest.
They're all cuddly, aren't they, really?
Yeah, they're not that bad.
They're quiet, just singing.
They were in that game for a long time, actually, against Portugal. It ended up a bit one-sided, but they were in the game.
Oh, the best bit of commentary in the World Cup, did you hear it? Mick McCarthy. It was genius. Mick McCarthy, I think it was 1-0 to Portugal, and he said, or 2-0 to Portugal, and Mick McCarthy said, I expect Portugal to sit back, you won't see any more goals in this game.
Yeah
7-0, was it? 7-0. Absolutely rotten.
what if we keep calling crap as a player, crap as a manager, or you crap as a pundit as well, mate.
So North Korea have been your team in a tournament?
Yeah, no, not the team. I like them. I've got a soft spot for them. I don't know. I love them.
You did very well to get that sentence out. It was complex. New Zealand manager. The Aussies want him as their next coach.
Ricky Herbert.
Yeah.
Good coach. He's a good coach. He come over and
he can be Jillian. Oh no, you Hessenthal.
Yeah, we've got Andy Hessenthal, mate. No worries there. No. Ricky Herbert's been over in England in over the last 18 months or so, doing some stuff with the guys who are studying for their pro license. So a lot of the guys coming through the ranks in England who've got their pro license, we're working with people like Ricky Herbert, and he's done a fantastic job with that side. Because
scouting Rory Fallon, isn't he? I'm sure he's fit for the tournament.
But no, I mean, you know, the all whites. There's a rumour that they might actually do the Haka before the next game.
Really?
Yeah, because they asked Ryan Nelson and they said 11 skinny white guys doing the Haka is not going to look particularly scary. But after a bit of chiding, it sounds like they might actually do it for a bit of a laugh.
You say 11 skinny guys, but Ryan Nelson doing the Haka on his own would be terrifying. Because that man is a mean, mean, granite-faced football player.
He looks like someone who's lived in the woods.
Yeah.
The Gruffalo.
Yeah.
I like that.
He lives in a sort of a log cabin in the woods, just chops wood and kills bears.
If there's a Holocaust, I don't want Ray Mears, I want Ryan Nelson by my side. Thank you very much.
I actually haven't been disappointed by any side, because all the sides that... Sorry, apart from Spain, all the sides that have done badly, I just didn't think that they were as good as... Their name suggests, i.e. Italy, just a bad side. Mm. And it doesn't help when Pirlo goes before the tournament.
They're going to get through.
And Buffon hurts his back in the first game. But they've got no striker. They've got no one to score goals. And then in the first game, they left the top scorer from Italy on the bench, Di Natale.
And when they play him, they play him on the left wing as well.
Yeah,
so he is a left winger, to be fair. But he's a good player.
Well, yeah. So and also they don't play Reno, and he's my favourite player. So
Gattuso.
So
the pit bull.
Yeah. So if you're not going to play Gattuso, then you deserve to lose. As far as I'm concerned,
the rumour is he's playing next game.
Yeah, well, he better do. I think Portugal have been like Jekyll and Hyde. They as truly awful as they were against the Ivory Coast. They were brilliant in that second half.
Yeah.
But he did make about four or five changes. He literally completely changed that midfield. Yeah. Deco was out, maybe injured, but had to go.
That would have made all the difference. Deco slows everything
down. I think it showed exactly what Chelsea did in the season. Yeah. He's trying to fit him in, and eventually he just went, do you know what, go away.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they won the league. So that I then also, you know, and then Brazil, Argentina, yeah, they look really good. Kaká should never have been sent off.
Oh no!
Yeah.
And also, Gourcuff should never have been sent off as well.
I can see why Gourcuff was sent off.
No, he shouldn't. Because he
did at least have his arm up and did at least hit him in the face with it. I don't think he led with it like deliberately elbow. It was just an arm that went up.
It was going up for a header.
Yeah. There was worse than that in the England Slovenia game.
I tell you where I've seen worse than that. And the funny thing is, it was the day after Cahill got sent off in that first Australia game.
Yeah.
That's three of the worst sending off I've ever seen, any time. The next day, Holland played. Was it Denmark? They played the next day. Yes, they did. They played Denmark the next day, and their right back, about four or five of their players, was going in straight legged. With their stud showing and were catching players left, right and centre, and for some reason you can be sent off for, I don't know, supposedly standing your ground. You can be sent off for trying to go up for a header and catch someone in the face very lightly, I might add, although the guy went down like he'd been hit by an elephant gun, and you can be sent off for trying to pull out of a tackle and catch him with your, what's it called, but you won't get put sent off for stamping all over the shirt.
You can also be sent off and receive death threats for being still on the touchline for no reason whatsoever, kicking out at someone and then going mad. The Nigerian players received death threats. Yeah, over 1,000 death threats. So
over 1,000.
We could have the latest Escobar on our hands.
Oh, we don't want that.
No, we. No.
I'm just saying, we could.
Having one death threat would be bad. Having 1,000, you'd seriously not go out.
I wonder if I'd get used to it.
Well, you just get used to having death threats. Well, no, but
I mean,
like, Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie's kind of living, isn't he? But I mean, you know, he's a unique case, I think. and he didn't play international football for Nigeria.
Although, that would have been brilliant. Rusty up front.
Yeah, he's a rusty goalkeeper.
Ah, so he did that.
Job done. Right, that'll do us for that. We'll come back with another one a bit later on in the tournament.